Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Another episode of Hashtag Saints Twitter Podcast. And we may not know, we may not have on the field, on the field activities are going on. We might not be getting those observations, but there's been a lot of Saints pressers, media availability. They brought in Drake Kirkpatrick, cornerback free agent, for a visit. So there's enough for us to talk about. In terms of like just our takeaways from things that we've learned in like this very short period of time of OTAs happening. I guess we can start. Let's start with Drake Kirkpatrick. Can we just get a quarterback, Ryan? Yeah. Just one.
I don't care who it is, man. I saw that they were bringing him in for a visit. I was like, okay, sign him. Like, I don't care. And they haven't even signed him yet. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then Jozena Anderson, like, tonight tweeted because someone had, like, added her, like, an update. And she's, you know, tweeted that I retweeted, you know, visit went well, communication's good. You know, the sides are still talking. But there's another team that has interests. Just because I'll say this, bro. If we go into week one and if it's P. Rob on the outside against Alan Lazard, it may be Devontae Adams. We don't know if Marshon Lattimore might get suspended. Like, we don't know.
We still don't know.
I'm just saying, bro. Like, if the season starts like off like that,
and it's like they know they have to sign somebody, but it's
somebody.
I mean, they just got under the cap. You know, shout out to Kai Harley. Boy, that boy is a whole dog beast, out there.
Just beast out in this bitch,
like,
bro.
He pulling shit out the CBA bylaws that I don't like. I'm like, what the fuck?
I didn't
know you could do that.
So to the listeners, because you sent it to me and I read it and I was like, damn. So just explain what they did with Marshon Lattimore's contract so they could sign the rookie class. Like,
so, I mean, basically, okay, Marshon Lattimore was on the 5th-year option. He was supposed to get, 10, 11 million this year? Something like that. So it was he was on a 1-year, almost like a franchise tag. Almost, you know, but it's a 5th-year option. And so that's how much it's against the cap, about $10 million. So what they did was they tacked on like four ghost years.
Or ghost four years, void years.
Voidable years. So once the new year leaves, the new league year comes next year, you know, in January or whatever, February, the contract is, those 4 years are immediately voided. And that $10 million was spread out across those 4 years. So they basically write him a check this year as a signing bonus, and it creates that space. So now they have like $9 million in cap space. And he's going to be basically like $1 million against the cap. And it creates $9 million in cap space. Now, next year, once it all rolls up in voidable years, we're going to pay for that. But, you know, I'm sure their plan is to extend him and get all that covered. Now, what was interesting today that Phil Yates put out is to do that voidable those extra 4 years in the contract, it was like for $120 million. Even though he's not going to get paid that, it was for like $120 million. $30 million a year or whatever. They did that because in the CBA or whatever, you can't sign the player to a contract twice in the same league year unless you pay him more you can't, how can I say it? You can't pay him more than what you signed him for. You know what I'm saying? So they had to do $120 million because they know they're not going to pay him more than $120 million. So if they do extend him at some point this season, it's going to be under that number, you know. That's why they couldn't do, like, that's why they couldn't spread $10 million across 4 years and just lay, like, say, $15 million and just spread it across. They had to make, like, a big stupid number. And if you remember, like, when Taysom Hill signed his extension, everybody was like, oh, he's getting $140 million over 5 years or whatever. Well, no, he was never going to get that. We kind of thought it was kind of like a troll, and it probably was kind of a troll, but it was also to say, like, hey, this is like, if we need to re-sign him again, we can. We can't do it because you can't re-sign a player the same year to another contract and pay him under what you have him contracted for, or over what you have him contracted for. So it's just some weird, like, little cap dynamics that they're pulling that is like, man.
Bro, they going deep in the playbook, bro.
I haven't seen anybody else do that shit. Anybody, bro. So that's dope, man. Like, you know, everybody's wondering about, like, damn, how they gonna sign, you know, they need to extend Lattimore, Ramchek. They gotta do something to get under the cap so we can sign all the rookie class. And, you know, tweet just came out of nowhere yesterday. Entire class has been signed.
What? Bro, shout out to our dude Rob on Twitter. Had me dying because he said they, the rookie class got paid with us bucks, nigga.
But you know what? I love that shit because one of my pet peeves is the...
Bro, I'm glad you talked about it.
Pro Football Talk or, you know, NFL.com.
Schefter.
So-and-so has signed his rookie deal. It's like, who gives a shit? Like, okay, I could see a report that so-and-so has signed their draft class, but I don't need to know if the second-round pick has agreed to a contract. Like, it's already written. It's pre-written. It's a rookie wage scale. It's the only reason, if it's a story, the only way it's a story, if there's a holdout and, like, a top 15 pick is haggling over some kind of contract.
Offset language
or some shit. Okay, like, that's a story. And that's not even a story until, like, around training camp. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think the last biggest one was it Roquan Smith? Yeah, Bosa.
I remember Bosa. Bosa held out for a while. Like, Bosa actually held out.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't want to hear about that shit. I don't care if, you know, pick number 23 agreed to contract in June. I don't give a fuck. Don't need it. That's, like, the bottom of a story. But, you know. It's a pet peeve. Who cares?
So we'll address Saints things, but you brought up the cap situation and the cap space, and I feel like we got to talk about it. So we talked about the Julio Jones thing in an episode, and that finally went down this past Sunday. She was traded to the Titans for a second round pick and a fourth round pick, and it's just it's kind of weird. Like Julio's not a Falcon anymore. Like we just sit and just think about it. It's like, damn, like Julio ain't a Falcon. Like, as a Saints fan, like, I love it. But then, like, also as a Saints fan, it's like, man, like, those were the only two games that Marshawn Lattimore got up for.
I know. I swear I thought about that today. I was like, damn, that's two less games. And it was funny because Lattimore said this person today, he's like, yeah, he is gonna miss Julio. He's gonna miss him. I'm like, damn.
But we kind of talked about a lot on the episode, but he teams with A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown, Julio, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. I just love the idea, you know, weapons, right? Weapons, bro. Like, this is an offensive league. Like, they lost,
and that's a defensive coach. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, and then from the Falcons' perspective, like, some people are like, there are tweets coming out like saying like the cap really didn't have anything to do with it, and like, you know, if the Falcons wanted to, they could have maneuvered and did something. with the cap to keep Julio, and this was strictly based on him not wanting to be there. But, like, you know, I think fans realize that, like, unless Julio was threatening to pull, like, an Aaron Rodgers and say, like unless I'm traded, like, I'm not going to play, like, they could have just been like, no, we're going to restructure the cap and we're going to give it the all-in. It's going to be you, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, and we're going to see what we got. And then after that, and we'll cook. So, like, they, like, I just want to get away from, like, they had to trade him. No, they did not.
No,
like,
they did not.
Let's stop.
They did not. Alt Breer wrote a little piece about it. Said, like, you know, he talked about how this kind of was coming to a head for years. Because, you know, there was some little kerfuffle a couple of years ago, like 2019. And they, you know, they paid him some more money and all that stuff. But and then apparently, then once Dan Quinn was out the door, you know, Dan Quinn was apparently his guy. And he was like, oh, well, I'm ready to go now. I don't want to hear none of that shit. Like, they could have figured out a way to make this work out. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, they really didn't want to make it work. Like, they was just like,
nope.
New regime, ready to move on. He's ready to get out. You're not dealing with this anymore. Moving on from Julio. So I'm just saying. Like, me personally, if I was Terry up in there and I'm just coming in there, I want to look good my first year. I want my first year as a GM. I want to at least say, okay, we did something. Like, okay, maybe the team isn't built to win the Super Bowl this year, but look, we're going to put up some offensive points.
It's going to be historic. Like, it's going to be get your popcorn ready, to quote T.O., bro. Like,
yeah,
it's going to pop off on offense.
Or if that's not what you're going to do, you're picking fourth overall.
You got to take a quarterback, bro.
Let's reset the whole thing, then. And it's like, then I would have understood it. Like, if they just, if they traded Matt Ryan, traded Julio, and just said, roster reset, we starting over. I'd be like, okay. They rebooting that fucker. They getting draft picks. They stocking up and ready to get that thing going in the next 2 years. Respect. I would fully respect that shit. But now they're doing, like, this kind of,
what's the vision?
What's the vision? It's like,
come on.
I would say between Saints, Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers, I have the same question. Like, what is the vision here? You know, Tampa Bay, we know what they're doing. Like, they just turning it back, running it back. That's what they're doing. But everybody else is like, what's the vision? What's going on here? You know?
What's the vision? I mean, in a way, to a lesser degree, I think a little bit you can ask yourself that to a lesser degree, but like on the Broncos as well. But here's the thing, man. I just appreciate teams going in. Mm-hmm. Like the Rams, in, you know, I fucked around forever, and I will 100% always make fun of them for their lack of draft picks. But, like, they are a very top-heavy team with little depth, but they still go in. They, you know, they got Jalen Ramsey. They got Brandon Cooks at one point. They traded for Matthew Stafford. Like, they go in, bro. Yeah. The Seahawks, who have DK, Tyler Lockett, drafted Dwayne Eskridge, we're still in maybe talks and maybe trying to get Julio.
Still trying to get him, bro.
The Niners. In. Huh. Like, so, but then it's like, we getting pressures where, like, we got Traquan next to MT. Like, and I like Traquan, right? Like, I'm not trying to, like, besmirch Traquan.
I get it.
Or make him sound like a bum or anything like that. But it's just like,
that's a WR2 motherfucker. Like, that's, he got his little fucking barrettes in his head, man. Like, man, like a Traquan. But, you know, I tell you what, man. Like, since the What's the Vision podcast, and after this week, I've kind of settled down. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to look at, you know, I'm not going to compare them to other teams, but just, they did go through a lot this offseason. Your Hall of Fame quarterback retired. You're coming off a pandemic year, and your cap, I mean, their cap situation was hellacious, man. Like, it
rough.
Like, I mean, if you remember, like, all the stuff that was written about it by everybody, it was like, what or how can they survive this? And it came out pretty good, bro. It's like, after that move they did yesterday with the Lattimore shit, and, you know, it's like, damn, I mean, you know, yes, there are some holes on the roster that they got to fill, but I'm like, they did a pretty good job, man, of just trying to work that shit out. You know, would there have been some other things I would have rather them do? Absolutely, like, no question about it. But just overall, the cap Olympics that they had to pull, man, that was shit, bro. That was some shit, man. Like, we had talked about it. Like, I was pretty much sure that P-Rob was going to be gone. Latavius Murray, I was pretty sure was going to be out of there.
I mean, let's wait off. I mean, the only reason I say P-Rob's still on the team right now is because they don't got nothing else behind him right
P-Rob,
now, bro.
P-Rob ain't going nowhere, bro.
They can't.
He's making, what, $3 million? Like, if you cut P-Rob, you're going to sign somebody else. So he's like, yeah. P-Rob ain't going nowhere. Who else? What's the fucking guy? Shit, it disappeared out of my head. But anyway, I just thought they were going to Marcus Williams. Remember the whole question was like,
yeah, man.
They bring back Marcus Williams.
Yep.
How they bring him? Got him on a franchise tag. They still hadn't extended Ramczyk or Lattimore. According to Underhill, he's saying they're already working. They're talking with Ramczyk right now. Like, they're going back and forth. So, you know, wouldn't be shocked to see that get done. Lattimore, we'll see. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. Speaking of Lattimore, man, like that dude, bro.
Want to talk about his presser real quick?
That dude, man. I'm like, you know, I love, like, here's the thing. Cornerbacks, you must have extreme confidence. Extreme confidence.
Extreme.
I mean, it got to be stupid. It got to be stupid confidence. Because just the position, man.
You can't play the position and not have confidence in yourself, bro.
Impossible. But, bro, like, he talking about, you know, people running with that whole inconsistent thing. I think they just took that narrative and ran with it. I'm like, bruh, it's like you created the narrative. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, your play created this. Like,
not only his play, but he's like admitted to it. He's like, yeah, sometimes I lose focus and I need to, I you know, I don't get up for the lesser wide receivers. It's like, yeah, it's not like media creation, bro. Like, we've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody on the planet doubts the skill of Marshawn Lattimore. Like, we know he is a top-level cornerback when he's on.
Yes.
But the fact that we have to add that qualifier of when he's on is the problem.
Like, that's the problem. Yes.
You don't have to say Revis was good when he was on.
Nope.
You know, you don't have to say that shit. So, and we know that he has that ability. I mean, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. We know he has that ability to be like a top five shutdown corner, and we just want to see it like through a whole season, bro. Just do it. And like, you are on your fifth year option, man. Like, you should have done it last year, but I mean, damn.
Speaking of a guy that, man, you know when like a movie's about to get released, right? And like, all these reviews are coming out for this movie, like, hyping it up. Mm. Like, it's just, like, it's good, right? But, like, if you read the reviews, like, they're not really saying anything, like, in-depth about the movie. It's just, like, all this fluff. Man, I feel like we are getting that with Marcus Davenport right now, bro.
The light bulbs come on. He's taking a look at his mental health. Like, oh, did he listen to our last podcast? Listen to Shavonda.
Shavonda maybe got him to understand some things.
Oh, man. Also, yeah, that's been funny, bro. Like, I saw Dennis Allen said the light bulb came on for him. Cam Jordan pumping him up. He was like, you know, he had to, Marcus Davenport said to the media that he had to take a look at himself and self-analyze. And he felt last year he was pressing too much and all that stuff. I don't
know. Bruh, Ryan, other Ryan who hooked us up with the Siobhan, whoever the sport psychologist contact you have, we got to get her on, bruh. Because we got some questions, bruh.
Got questions, man.
It just seemed like this hype, like, it, again, anyone who's listening to this, this is not us rooting for him to fail.
At
but,
all.
Like, I just feel like it's just this press tour, and it's just all these tropes about him. Like, all these tropes and cliches, and it's like, at the end of the day, like, fuck a trope, fuck a cliche, go out on the football field and dominate and make plays. Because That's it, bro.
And you look, I mean, to his credit, I mean, he's being asked questions by the media, and he has to answer them, you know what I'm saying? And he knows, like, he is reading the tweets. He sees them. I've read his comments over the offseason. I know he's seeing what people say. I've seen a retweet or two. So I know he is feeling.
Bro, if he doesn't see a retweet or two, that means he doesn't see all them retweets.
Bro.
And you like, know, who just reads one retweet?
Nobody. Especially when it's your name, you know?
Yeah, right?
So, you know, and I think about that sometimes. I'm a little sensitive to it. I'm like, you know, I think about players and, like, you know, having to read your own shit, people criticizing you, and they don't – we don't know. We don't know what he's going through.
That's true.
You know, that's why, day, you know what
that's
saying?
Why Pete got it right, bro. Pete. got that locked account, bitch.
Pete locked it up.
Yeah, say whatever you want about him on the field, tweet about him. He's like, fuck this shit.
Pete say, I don't need you heathens in my life.
And I will say this, right? If you are a NFL, I don't care what player you are, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, there's probably not a worse fan base that you could go to than the Saints Twitter. Not that we don't love our players, but like, if you are ass or you are inconsistent or you ain't, if you're not playing up to standards, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. Like, bro, we are ruthless. Like, let's just be
ruthless, bro.
We are a ruthless bunch. We're hilarious, fucking hilarious, but we are ruthless. And so, to that point, I can't imagine mentally, getting back to our mental health episode, mentally what that could do to a person, right? Like,
right.
Can't be fucking healthy, right? Like, shit, seeing hundreds of fucking people just drag their name through the mud probably really fucking sucks. But on the fucking other flip side, like, it's you have a job, right? You're an athlete. You're expected to produce. And if you don't produce, like, you're getting paid X amount of dollars, like a shit ton. Like, what is his fifth-year option tag? $9 million, whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so if those expectations aren't being met, like, of course that's going to come with criticism. And I hope he has a good season. I really do.
I really do, man. And it's like, you know, when he said we talked about how he pressed last year and how he focused on getting sacks, it made me recall Kevin Washington. He said on one of his podcasts, he was saying, and I remember the clip he's talking about. It was like the second Carolina game last year, and you know, we were beating the shit out of them. I think they had their backup quarterback in, and he was so close to a sack and he missed it. I think Trey Henderson got it, or somebody else. But he was so close. And he let out this scream like, ah, like, fuck. Like, he was just so pissed. MD, he was so pissed. And you could just see it in his face, just that, like, that disappointment in itself. Like, damn, like, man, I'm just trying to get my numbers up. You know what I'm saying? Because the sacks was low. And you could just see he was trying to finish the regular season strong and get his numbers up. And, you know, Kevin Washington pointed it out, and I was like, man, I saw that shit too. And I just didn't, it didn't really occur to me that that what was going on. So I could absolutely see that he probably was pressing last year. But look, man, it's like, man, we professionals now, bro. This is you going into your fourth year in the NFL. Like, it's time to throw all that shit out, man. Study the tape.
Yeah.
Learn all the mechanics to the game. Bring your A game, be in shape, you know, get yourself healthy and go out there and ball. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that's it, bro.
That's it, man. It's like,
because if not, you're not going to be on the team much longer. Like, right. That's just real.
Not going to be on the team, bro. And it's like, you know, at some point you just got to check yourself. It's like, what do you find important? You know what I'm saying? Like, if NFL is not important to you, that's completely fine. Like,
cool.
You've made money and you could live a nice life without it. You know what I'm saying? And that's completely fine. Like, we all have choices. But, you know, you can't try to play both sides of it, because if you're going to play, you got to be in it, you know? So I just hope he, whatever it is that he needs to tap into, I hope he taps into it. Because, I mean, look, he's physically talented. We know that. It's no question about it. Nobody has ever said he can't play, like he's physically not good. Nobody has ever said that, you know? But it's all the other stuff that go into being an NFL player.
I mean, again, like we – before the season, last season, we had Baldy on. And, like, there was, like, before last season, like, there was a lot of, like, this was going to be his breakout year.
This is lit. That was it.
Our friend, Greg Rosenthal, always been a big fan of Marcus Davenport. And Baldy, like, came on the pod and was like, he got to produce. Like, you know, he's stiff. He got
Baldy said, he said, it's time to start him to beat some tackles. That's what he said. You see, it's time for Marcus Davenport to start beating some NFL tackles. You know, just beating them. Like, you straight up. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen it here, a little snap here and a little snap there. But I'm talking about bringing that pressure, you know? You got to bring that pressure. So, we'll see, bro. You know, but they got, you know, two first 2.0 up in that motherfucker.
Oh. I mean,
his smiling ass, just a smiling ass little dude. Man.
We and
smiling ass nigga.
Cam Jordan called him Marcus Davenport Jr. Day, and I was like, oh, because I saw some tweets. I saw some tweets after the draft that said, comparing Peyton Turner to Marcus Davenport is lazy analysis. It was on my timeline, Ryan. Oh, sorry. It was on my timeline because the person that said it, I don't follow. So it was retweeted on my timeline. And I'm like, what? I just blew my mind that. And then a person who plays defense on the Saints on the same position literally called that man Marcus Marcus.
Two years.
I don't know, bro. Make it make sense. I don't know. Maybe I.
Eyes don't lie, bro. I mean, come on. Just put the two players together. And, I mean, people are so stupid. It's not saying that Peyton Turner is going to have the exact same career as Marcus. No, it's not like that. It's projections as, you know, as college players, they were extremely similar physically and production-wise.
And, like aesthetically.
Aesthetically, like just looking at them, it's like, that looks like two firsts.
Like even their gear, like the they're like
everything, man.
Like everything. Like they took two firsts, fucking went to Kenosha and cloned that man.
And it's funny because it's like they did like the opposite of what you would think, because you would think they'd be like, oh, we drafted this player, he didn't work out. Let's
get the antithesis and fuck the. That contrast. Let's go get
anti two first.
Yeah. Aziz Ojulari. Like, right. I don't know. Like, nope.
We want the exact same player.
Them nigga says, hit me at the fucking blackjack table, bro. Double down.
Double down, man. Go hit once.
Fucking casino, bro. Never again will I fucking. Let's let's talk about something that you and I have picked up on. And I've been like reading some like the quotes from the presser and things. Well, I want to save Jameis for last. Let's talk about our dude, our friend of the pod, Joey Plague likes to call him hashtag Bonfire. Can we talk about Zach Bond? Because I said this as soon as Pete Warner was drafted. I have no fucking clue where fucking Zach Bond is going to play on this defense. So then, you know, we're told today that, you know, Sean Payton says that, okay, so now he's going to be a will. He's competing at the will spot. And then Dennis Allen, you know, today was talking about, you know, he was doing well in training camp last season. I'm paraphrasing this. And then he got injured, then he missed a week, and that set him behind and learned the position. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I tweeted it. I could be wrong, right? I may very well be wrong. But if Zach Bond is traded or cut before week one, I would not be shocked one bit.
I mean, that would be bad, bro. That would be bad. And, oh, there's such a history of this. I mean, going back to, like, what, Rob Ninkovich? It's like these players, they just don't know what to do with. And it's – okay. He was, you know, about 70% of pass rush in college. Did some drops. They draft him. Immediately say he's going to be a Mike. Oh, okay. It's weird. Okay, well, we'll see. So he gets to camp, doesn't do much at camp, gets dinged up a little bit, but, you know, he's healthy most of camp. Non-existent during this, you know, early part of the season. Comes on the field sometimes as a Sam, as sort of like a, you know, as a extra linebacker at times. Even when Anzalone gets hurt, doesn't play. Saints went out and traded for Quan Alexander to play Will just because Anzalone sucked. It's like, meanwhile, Bond right there. So they didn't, you know, it didn't occur to them then, like, hey, let's try him at Will. They obviously thought at that time, like, he can't play. And now it's like, okay, we're going to try him at Will because there's nobody else there to really pencil in. It's like, I don't know, man.
So they said let's not try this linebacker that we drafted in the third round and potentially was going to be content with drafting the first round. Let's not put him in the game. I feel like I'm going to get back on the West Division fucking pod again, bro. just let that man rush. Can he rush? Can he rush?
But he doesn't meet their pass rush prototype. That's why I compared him to Tez Wilson. It wouldn't shock me if next year they have him gain like 15 pounds and just have him at DE. Because remember they tried that with Tez. They tried Tez at Mike. They tried Tez at Mike. They tried him as like a pass rushing linebacker. Then they just had him like just try to just be a fucking defensive end. Like just be a defensive. Couldn't do none of it. And he got rid of him. But he was, like, super athletic at least. Bowen is, like, he's a slightly above average athlete. So it's, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting here. Like, what am I getting? What? There's no real twitch. He's not a twitchy athlete.
Like, at least, like, Tez was, like, athletic.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was, like, a top-notch athlete at least. Like, you say, okay, he's fast and he's, you know, moves well. That's about it. But with Bond, it's like, okay, you're slightly above average athlete, not really fast. Like, what am I getting here? Like, what if
and now you're asking him to play a position that he didn't really play a lot of.
Yeah, play Will linebacker, man.
Oh, but you know where he played it at though? Played at the Senior Bowl. You know how they love them love their fucking Senior Bowl, bro.
Bruh. I could just see it. I could just, ooh, look at him. Oh, watch him chase that guy down, you know. They used to do that. Like, He could do that. Like, he could chase guys down. I watched him, like, a few snaps he had last year. Like, he would chase the guy down. He made, like, I don't think he missed a tackle. Maybe one tackle at most. Because, you know, he does that, but it's like, okay. It's like, you know, what are we getting here? So, it's just one of those. I mean, look, we could be wrong. He could be coming. He could come in, figure out the playbook, find his spot. But I just, like, when I see him, I don't say, like, ooh, this is going to be a good wheel linebacker. Like, I don't see that. I just never, like, when we looked at him last year before we even drafted him. And before I never thought, him. Like, man, this is a good wheel linebacker to put back next to DeMario. And then you could say, okay, well, maybe he's going to be a Mike and when we move on from DeMario. But that's like, you know, maybe a year, 2 years from now, you know, a year, maybe a year from now, too. I mean, he's not stepping in and being DeMario.
And then, like, I mean, we talked about this after the draft. Like, the Saints and with their defense, they don't – when they're in sub, like, sub is the new base for almost every fucking NFL team. Teams aren't strolling out with four threes. You know what I'm saying? No. Teams ain't strolling out with three linebackers anymore. It just doesn't happen.
It's so, two backers.
And they just drafted Pete Warner in the second round. So, right.
If you just told me to put money on it, me putting money on it, and if they don't bring anybody else in, it's gonna be DeMario and Pete Warner.
Easy, you know, easy.
Maybe they'll sub in what's the Hanson or whatever. They'll sub in some other guys here and there.
Chase Hanson, Caden Ellis,
Craig Robinson. I'm sorry, folks. Craig Robinson going.
I don't think he's on the team anymore, bro.
Craig Robinson gone?
I think, like, his contract expired and they didn't bring him back. Pretty sure.
Are you fucking serious, man? That dude had a lifetime contract, man.
Pretty sure, bro. I might be wrong, but I don't think he's with the team anymore.
Man, hold on. I'm looking at it.
Right, I got to pull it up right now.
Because I swear he had a lifetime contract, man.
Like, I think last year was, like, his final year and, like, they just didn't bring him back.
Fucking Craig Robinson, the comedian, always come up first. Yep, currently a free agent, man.
He'll be back. I'm talking about that man like he had STD or something. Like, oh, he be coming back. Like, don't worry.
August, gonna get that $1 million. We need him for the locker room vibe, you know, locker room videos and shit, man. That doobie.
Can we talk about this, bro? So you, and this only makes sense, like, with the visual. But, like, can you tell me why? Like, you sent me that picture of Pete Warner signing his contract, right? I just got so annoyed. And then, somehow on my timeline, I don't know if it was retweeted or what, but, like, the Dolphins post, like, a picture of them signing fucking Jalen Phillips. First of all, they don't look like they are even play the same sport, bro. First of all,
right?
Second of all, why do the Dolphins use, like, that black 4K camera?
Oh, man.
and like the Pete Warner pic was like a razor photo, bro.
Razor photo.
Like, is this this is what I can expect? Like,
Pete Werner looked like he worked at fucking, I don't know, work at fucking walk-ons or some shit.
at least in Texas it's still like this. It's not like this in California at all. But, like, if you go to a grocery store in Texas, at least in Lubbock, you know, they'll still walk your groceries out to your car, right? Uh-huh. And put them in your car or whatever. And Pete Warner looks like the type of person that, like, walks groceries to someone's car.
Like, just looks like just a regular guy, man. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this dude is supposed to be the beast of our linebacking corps. I don't know, man. Like, I'm starting to buy into Pete Warner just for the because of Bowen. I'm pretty much like,
it's gonna be him. Like, and we just gotta hope we're wrong. Like, right. One thing I will say that I do think, as much as we have shit on Pete Warner, and I swear, I hope to God he does not listen to this podcast. But one thing I will say is that I do think, in terms of compared to Anzalone, I do feel like the coverage, to a degree, will be better. Because I do think that's a strength of his, is his coverage abilities. Now,
right. And it's not coverage like, oh, he just gonna man up. No, it's like
no.
I'm gonna say the phrase I hate, but he's gonna be where he's supposed to be.
Yes, and Anzalone did not do that. So that that might be enough in terms of whatever. Now in the run game or like making like impactful plays.
I don't know. No, I don't see it. No. Not that type of backer. He's not that type of backer. I know Quan Alexander, everybody's like bringing him back, and I get it, and because he's like that standout line, but when he moves, he's like,
right.
But he also made some mistakes. Like he
that like Eagle game, bro.
And there were a couple other times he misses some gaps, and he misses some gaps.
Because he reads it wrong. It's so funny because when we were talking to Greg, he was talking about Jared Cook. Greg was like not a fan of Quan. And right. he was like, just wait. He's like, something's going to happen and he's going to make like a big mistake in a big game. And then he completely fucking took the wrong hole and was not in the right hole against the Eagles game that led to that long Miles Sanders touchdown.
But Greg underestimates how the terrible linebackers.
Yes. Yes.
So just for us having another linebacker that could the little swing pass,
bruh. It was beautiful, bruh.
And a linebacker that could actually get there and make the tackle. It was like, oh,
like tears of joy, bruh.
Oh yeah, I get it. He did bust some runs. I bust some runs, but man, look,
we done seen busted runs, but like,
sorry, man, give me some speed on defense, man. Give me some
please. I feel like is our defense gonna take like a step back in terms of speed this year?
Where's the speed at?
We got all this power. We got all this girth, but like. No, bro.
Where is that speed demon? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
DeMar Hamlin's third.
Hey, let's go.
That's it.
Go, Big Creep. Hey, look, I will say this, man. The defensive line, there is a nice rotation there. Like, there's some questions at defensive tackle.
Yes.
But there's a rotation, bro. Like, there's a lot of players there, and Ryan Nielsen has been able to get. Get a lot out of a little. So, the defensive line, bro, if you can keep your defensive line fresh and rolling, that wins games.
It does. And let's be real, like, with the secondary, like, we don't know who's going to play cornerback two, bro. Like, we don't need it.
Going to need it, man. Going to need it. I just always go back to that second Tampa Bay game, bro.
Oh.
Dennis Allen put the onus on the D line and said, "You got to get the Tom Brady and bring it."
It was the highlight of the season.
Highlight of the season.
Like we was fucking turnt post game presser, bro. Still, I might be wrong, but I still think that's like our best episode.
It's the most downloads we ever had.
Yes,
most downloads.
Yes,
it was number one.
Let's finish this off. We try not to have this be a super long episode. Let's talk about Jameis, bro. Like,
let's talk about him.
Can we stop pretending like there's going to be a quarterback competition? Like, can we stop this?
Come on, bro.
Tired of it, bro.
Like players talk about him like you already started. Like,
right? And, like, here's the thing. Like, Sean Payton's never had to deal with this, right? Never been a quarterback controversy. Like, I mean, maybe when Drew got hurt and then he played Taysom, so everyone's surprised because he promised Taysom that he would in the offseason. Dumb. dumb. This is why Sean never going to come on the pod, bro. Like, Sean probably hates me. That said, like, he like, players talk to him with such reverence. Like, they buy in to, like, whatever his energy, his habits, his leadership, like, they buy in completely. And I just think that's crucial, man. Like, this team is still, like, yes, there are older players on the team, but, like, it's still a youngish team. And Jameis is able to connect with them.
Yeah. You can't take that away, man. And they know. I mean, they saw him at Florida State. They know he is a talented quarterback, you know. They know he's a goofball, too. Like, they know that, you know. So, but I think for them, I mean, players know, bro. Like, they can look at Taysom and know who's the best quarterback. They can look at Taysom and Jameis. They know who needs to win. You know what I'm saying? And for him, you know, for him to this offseason to pay for Traquan and all the wide receivers to come down and with him and work out with him and all that stuff and show that leadership, bro, like, that shit goes so far for the players, man.
Huge, man.
Like, it's not even a question. It's not even a question. He not getting paid. He made $1 million last year. He's gonna make about $1 million or two this year.
Not like he
maybe more if he hits his incentives or whatever. But still, but it's like it's no question to me. Like, Sean Payton can do all that, both these guys shit all summer. Like, but it's. If it has to, something's really wrong if he goes to Taysom. Like, something really wrong. And I like Taysom. Love Taysom. I love how they built him up. He's not a starting quarterback, which is fine. He's never been. Could
give you some spot starts and win you some games with a good game plan and a you know, a good defense. But, like, he is not a starting quarterback.
Right. And that's fine. Like, that is fine. He's going to have a nice career in this league, hopefully with the Saints. But, you know, as far as, like, this year, like, it got to be Jameis.
I think you got to see what you have in Jameis, right? Because as much as we say, you know, what if – and it's a big what if – but what if Jameis just comes in and just balls, bro? Like, balls.
It's unlikely, but it's a possibility.
It's not impossible, bro. Not impossible.
It's out of this realm. I like, look at Tannehill, man.
Yep.
Look at Tannehill. You know, I mean, he was different from Jameis, but he was a mediocre quarterback, you know, for years. And they were able to unlock, and the last 2 years he's been statistically a top five quarterback. I mean, statistically he's been better than Patrick Mahomes in a lot of areas. No, I'm not saying he's better than Patrick Mahomes. Of course, we know that. But just statistically, they've been able to get that production out of him. So that's how I look at Jameis. If, like, we could get top 10 production out of Jameis, you know, touchdowns, yards, percentage, game management. Game management is going to be the key for him. Like, playing well in the third and fourth quarter towards the end of the game. That's going to be fun. I'm not worried about him being able to throw touchdowns and get the passes to the wide receivers. I'm not worried about that. I want to see him execute the game plan and play smart late in the game when we need him to. Like, that's going to be the ultimate test for him. And, I mean, so we'll see. Like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. That's where the coaching comes into play. That's where his mental aspect. He's said everything perfect. Like, he's been speaking perfectly. And that's fine, but we got to see it. Just like two firsts, it's like, we got to see it. But it's huge for him, man. Like he said himself, he didn't get hardly any reps last year. Came in, got a couple reps during training camp, but for the whole year, he didn't get passing reps. Like, it was Taysom and Drew.
That's wild.
You know, he'd do some spot, you know, some spot scout team shit, you know, get a few passes here and there when Drew was down, but that was it, man. Like, so this year, it's time for him to just take it. I want to see him take it. I want to see
early
training camp, like second preseason game where they just like, okay, Jameis got this shit. He got this his. You know? Like, I mean, Sean Payton could fight around and all that shit, but I want it to be visually clear that that's the direction they're moving in.
Let's talk about what Traquan did say, you know, about like scramble drills and
yeah,
bruh. Been a while, bruh.
It's one I've been thinking about all year, man. Like, even if like Jameis isn't great, I'm like, he's gonna unlock some potential in Traquan and a lot of other players, man. Because you gotta understand it with Drew. I tweeted earlier, it's like them motherfuckers had to do calculus to run routes. It's like, okay, you know, if the safety moves 5 yards this way and the cornerback has this leverage, I read the line. If the linebacker drops this way, I move this way, and it'll do this way. And then if you do something wrong, the pass goes over your head. Drew Brees looking at you with them eyes, like, you know, his hand on his hips, like, damn. Like, everything had to be so perfect, man. It was so frustrating. And it's because, you know, Drew Brees had reached a point where he was limited physically. You know, whether it's energy, injury, or age, he was limited. But Jameis telling Traquan, like, look, man, if the look ain't there early, just keep running. Just keep running. I'll hit you. Man, none of our wide receivers heard that shit ever.
Bro, they probably started crying a little bit, bro. Like, shed real tears. Like, what? We could what? We...
So you mean I could just keep running downfield? And you going to get the ball? Like, I almost want to bring Ted Ginn back, man.
Bring Ted Ginn back, man,
so they can be like, oh, yes. He can hit me in stride. I don't have to stop for the ball.
And it's so funny because I was thinking this last night. I'm like, man, I know I heard that, like, the Bears are trying to fucking trade Anthony Miller. Like, can we get an Anthony Miller? Can we get something,
man?
Nothing, bro.
Jets trying to get rid of, what, James Crowder?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure he's going to get cut.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because James and Crowder strikes me, like, if Drew was here, like.
Oh, bro. That was just like, come on now. He would love Crowder. Love
him. Like, Jameis seems like he just gonna throw that bitch, just chunk it.
Yeah. I want another big win. I mean, it might be Callaway. Callaway might be that guy, but I just want a big wide receiver. You know, I would have loved Julio. I just knew Julio would never in a million years would Falcons trade Julio to the Saints. So I didn't even think about it.
Here's a question. Like, and I know it wouldn't have happened either. But let's in crazy world say that the Saints could financially have pulled it off. Would you have given a first for Julio?
Obviously, like, I wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The question is, would you give two firsts? That's what it would have took. That's what it would have took for the Falcons to do it.
Yeah, like, I think two firsts.
But one first round pick, fucking right, take that shit. Like,
bye.
Bye. Like, take that shit. We spent the first round pick on Cesar Ruiz.
Come on, bro. Let's talk about him, bro. His presser was yesterday. And I listened and watched a little of it, and I just left it just annoyed, bro. Like, like, we really drafted a center who played majority is his, like, he's a center. And then, like, he's now a guard.
Before you even talk about them, you got to say 2018, the Saints moved up in the second round to draft Eric McCoy, targeted the best center in the draft, took him, and he started every game that season and played well and has played well since. Like, you had your guard.
A top six-ish center in the league.
You got your guard. You know how they always say on the draft talk shows, they're like, yo, you sign him and you let him play for the next 10 years. Like, that's what Eric McCoy is. You got your center for the next 10 years. Don't have to think about it. You know what I'm saying? Just pay the man and you keep on rolling. But then you draft another one. It's like, huh?
What? Like, come on, bro. Come on, man. Make it make sense. And then, like, their thought process had to be, we're going to put, like, you know, obviously they weren't, you know, COVID happened, whatever. But their thought press had to be, well, we're going to move Ruiz to center, put McCoy at guard, And shit, now we got a stew, baby. Now we cook it.
That had to be it. But it's that had to be it. Why was that the thought?
I don't know, bro. Sean Payton, if you want to come on the show.
Like, I can see if Eric McCoy was this, like, four-year starting guard in college, and we forced him into being a center, like, that first year. It's like, okay, I get it, I guess. But he was a center. Like, I don't know. It's like, Eric McCoy is a center. Yes, he has the body type that could possibly play guard, but you're creating, like, disruption at two positions for no reason. Like,
it's no,
like
reason, no reason, bruh! No reason! I feel like I'm going. But anyway, but like, so he came out and said it, like he's focused on guard. Like, he is a guard. Exactly. And it's like, all right, you're a guard, though. You know, you've been training as a guard, you know, yeah. Focus on the guard. And it's like, he has to work out, bro.
Yeah. At least he has clarity, though. At least he has clarity. And that's the position you're working on. That's the one you're going to practice at. That's the one you're going to study. Like, you are a guard. You have to learn how to handle those stunts and all that shit. That's going to be your job. So, you know, at least he has that clarity versus last season where we were trying to figure it out. But it goes back to, like, what they always say with the draft players, oh, we have a vision for this player. I don't want to hear that shit ever again, man. Like, that's bullshit. Y'all ain't got – or if you do have a vision, your vision is fucked. Like, you ain't got –
You need some glasses, nigga.
Because why am I questioning this shit? I'm just a dude on the internet, just a regular old fan. Like, why is it occurring to me that these questions – is anybody in the building asking these same questions? That's what I want to know. Like, do they have one or two people that are asking the same questions that me and you are asking?
Like a contrarian. Like, just someone contrarian, who has, like, the balls that can be like, you know what, guys? I don't know if this makes sense.
Bro, you know, it's starting to – just thinking about that, I think that's the issue. There might be too many yes men.
Yes men. Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's saying, Sean, what the fuck are you talking about? We got Eric McCoy. Like, why are we living like this? Like,
yeah, Sean, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like, right. Yeah, we'll just move McCoy to guard and put Reese at center, and our offensive line is going to be solidified. Why didn't we think of this earlier, John? What?
It makes so much sense because, I mean, we know how Sean is. We know how he is. We had Ramon on here. He talked about Sean Payton calling him 6 in the morning.
Oh, we can't tell that story. That was offline.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. But we've heard how Sean Payton is, put it like that. And Sean Payton, if you watch pressers, I'm not saying he got the media spooked, but
oh no, don't bullshit that. He does, bro. He does.
He has his way.
And that's why I always give props to either Catherine or Triplett. When they ask questions, because I already know what the response from Sean's going to be, but like, I give them props on Twitter and be like, thank you for fucking asking that.
Especially Kat, because Kat be like, I'm just going to ask this shit. I know he ain't going to tell me shit, but Kat,
right. I'm going to ask it.
And Mike is really good at taking this kind of diplomatic approach.
Yes.
Where he'll get the answer out of you because he's so diplomatic about it. He's like, oh, shucks, let me just tell Mike this shit. Fuck, you know? But you're right, man. So I imagine he's the same way in the building, man. And so they just like, yeah, man, whatever coach say, man, we need a fucking other center. Shit, let's go.
Two centers? Like, shit, we about to revolutionize the league. Shit.
No, yes, man. You know, I don't know. Bring Joe Vitt back. I don't know. Don't do that. Never mind.
All right, buddy. But can you stop? Oh, God. Sorry to the listeners. This is me dealing with a new kitty.
I'm acting up too, but I don't feel bad.
But I mean, I think I'm pretty sure like that. I mean, that's all that's happened. Yeah. But we just wanted to kind of recap what's been said in these pressers, you know, the Drake Kirkpatrick news, just something, like something to talk about. And I wouldn't be surprised, bro, because I sent it to you earlier. So the 49ers were doing like OTAs or whatever, and they had a player tear an ACL and a torn Achilles the exact same day. And Kyle Shanahan came out today and said, no more AT or OTAs and mini camp is canceled. Like,
we're done.
Done.
I've seen enough.
Done.
So hey, listen, I respect Sean. I respect that shit, bro. Like, what's the point? I mean, look, you're barely learning anything from this shit. Do your little Zooms and your little in-school work. That's all we need, man. Figure that shit out in training camp, you know?
Dude, I feel like I want to hit on this and then we'll go. Can we talk about Montez Sweat's comments today, bro?
Man, listen. Just got some. What did he say, bro?
Bro, the Washington football team, who usually should not get credit for anything about how they run shit at that organization, brought in a COVID vaccine experts, Ryan, experts, to educate the team on COVID. And Montez Sweat, defensive tackle, edge rusher for the Washington football team. I'm going to read it verbatim what he said. He said, here it is. I'm not a fan of it at all. I won't get vaccinated until I get more facts. So then the, you know, beat reporter, you know, why asked him why he was hesitant. I haven't caught COVID yet. So I don't see me treating COVID until I actually get COVID.
Oh man, it's like,
come on, bro.
These really some dumb man.
Come on, bro. Huh?
They are that dumb. Like, look, I was saying earlier, I was talking to my coworkers. I was like, just throw the fucking, like, what you feel about COVID out of. Throw that up, because you know these are young NFL players. They feel invincible. It's like, what the fuck am I put something in my body for? And throw out that, you know, that you might affect other people. Throw that out too, because pretty much everybody's has some kind of selfishness. But, like, just think about it, like, if you don't have a vaccine in the NFL, that means you got to abide by the COVID protocols. So you could not play. Like, you got to get your tests every other day and all that shit. You could pop up on there and not play. And if you pop up, that means your other players that aren't vaccinated also, they won't play either. Like, it's going to cause, like, it's a whole mess for you.
It's the whole Bronco situation from last season.
For no reason.
None, bro! Can you imagine if this season, if something like that happened again in league, like the Broncos quarterback situation or the Saints running back situation, when there's a vaccine out, I am clowning everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody, bruh. Like, imagine you being a fan. Let's pick what strikes me as the Bills, right? Because that's already been a thing that, like, Cole Beasley, Josh Allen, surprise, surprise.
Shocker.
Right? Shocked. So could you imagine, like, if it's a game where, like, I don't know, like an important game in the AFC where, like, they are fighting for, like, the number one seed, the number two seed, and something fucking happened where, like, Cole Beasley, who isn't vaccinated, was around someone and the entire wide receiver room's out, bruh.
Bruh. For no reason. Like, I guess when I keep going, man, like, for no reason. Oh my God! It's like, man, come on, bro. Like, we got to smarten up, man. We got to smarten up.
Something I think Florio may have reported it, like something along the lines of like, like coaches, like assistant coaches who aren't vaccinated, like they have a certain status that they'll lose. So like they can't even work with the players like on the field. Like it's all done virtually if they lose like their tier one status and they go to tier two, or maybe it's the opposite way around. I don't fucking know. Like, just dumb, bruh. Just dumb. Like, is that serious? Do people like,
give me a reason. Like, give me a real reason. Like, okay, I have these side effects with drugs. You know, I took a vaccine before, I had this issue. Like, give me something that I could be like, okay, like I can understand why you wouldn't take a vaccine. But just cause like they not even give me reasons. It's just like, man, I don't know, bro. Like, I don't trust that shit, yo. I don't trust that shit.
Like, do people not like get like the reason why shit is slowly opening up more?
Right.
Like, we're almost back to a regular type of life of living as regular as it's ever going to be because there's a vaccine that works? Like, I don't know, bro. I can't.
It's going to be interesting how that dynamic plays out.
It is, bro. It is. Because I don't know why. And the NFL, I want to say they handled it as best they could last year to the degree they did. But then I think about the whole Titan situation where like got COVID and then they were doing their own shit while they had COVID. And the NFL was like, oh, the Titans didn't do anything wrong. Like, oh, suck my fucking dick. Anyway, but if a team fucks like one of their position groups out because of this shit, clown. I don't want to hear from it from the fans of the team. I don't nothing. Like, you can't say shit. Can't say it. Can't do it.
I don't want to hear it.
All right. So we covered it all. If the Saints sign somebody to play cornerback, well, our plan is to have like a dive into that player where we go through the game pass, break down the player. Ryan and I will, you know, each watch some games on set player. And then we'll do like an episode on what we saw from the game pass. But they just got to fucking sign somebody, bro. Like,
yeah. Because other than that, that's it, man. Like, after tomorrow, this little quote unquote mini camp is over. And this is it for the next month and a half, bro.
Tumbleweeds,
no. We'll be talking about Aaron Rodgers and shit like that.
Better get our non-football fucking topics on, bro, because it's going to be what did Bane say?
Both these guys? Yeah, hey, yeah, look, y'all send in suggestions. Anything y'all want us to talk about? Look, I can talk about anything, man.
Anything, bro. We will need it.
We will need it.
So, speaking of said topic, so my goal was to get out the tumblers to Rod and to David like last week or so, but work and shit's been busy. But they will be going out probably next week. I feel like Ryan, but they should be going.
Yeah, no better than me, bro.
None, bro. They will be going out next week, though. And so just when you guys get them, just put it on internet, you know, just mention us and everything. But thank you guys as well for being, you know, supporters and Patreons. And like anyone who is a Patreon subscriber, let us know what you want from this podcast, where you feel like at the end of the day, like you who are people who are our subscribers, like you're donating and giving us hard earned money for our show. And we want this show to be good. And we're doing this for you. We're doing this because we're fans. So however you think of what you may need to, you know, we are open to suggestions. We are not closed-minded. Twitter, DM us. It does not matter. DM us, email, give us suggestions of what you want to hear or whatever so we can start doing it. if you are a subscriber, if you're trying to become a subscriber, it doesn't matter. Like we just want to hear it. Because at the end of the day, we're doing this for the fans. We're doing this for the people that support us. So I think that's it. We're going to get out of here. Hopefully we can have more than likely we're going to have a non-Saints episode here pretty soon. But with that, we're going to get out of here. We're out.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.